I'm Karen Hartglass. You are listening to It's All About Food. Before we get started, I wanted to mention that the 10th annual Food Revolution Summit will be taking place April 24th to May 3rd. I'm always there. I'm there answering questions in the dialogue portion while people are listening to the fantastic interviews. So I will be there. I hope you will be too. If you want to register, if you want to know more about it, you can visit our nonprofit website, responsibleeatingandliving.com, and there's lots of information there that will link you to the 10th annual Food Revolution Summit. Today I will be talking about one of my favorite foods, mushrooms, and my guest is Jeff Chilton. Let me tell you a bit about him. He was raised in the Pacific Northwest, studied ethnomycology at the University of Washington in the late 60s, and started working on a commercial mushroom farm in Olympia, Washington in 1973. During the next 10 years, he became the production manager responsible for cultivation of over 2 million pounds of agaricus mushrooms per year, and was also involved in the research and development of shiitake, oyster, and enoki mushrooms, which resulted in the earliest U.S. fresh shiitake sales in 1978. In the late 70s, he was a founder of Michael Media, which held 4 mushroom conferences in the Pacific Northwest. These educational conferences brought together educators and experts in mushroom identification, ethnomycology, and mushroom cultivation. During this period, Jeff co-authored the highly acclaimed book, The Mushroom Cultivator, which was published in 1983. In the 1980s, he operated a mushroom spawn business, and in 1989, he started Namex, a business that introduced medicinal mushrooms to the United States nutritional supplement industry. He traveled extensively in China during the 1900s, attending the conferences and visiting research facilities and mushroom farms. In 1997, he organized the first organic mushroom production seminar in China. Jeff's company, Namex, was the first to offer a complete line of certified organic mushroom extracts to the U.S. nutritional supplement industry. Namex extracts are used by many supplement companies and are noted for their high quality based on scientific analysis of the active compounds. Jeff Clinton knows his mushrooms. Jeff, thank you for joining me today.
Hi, Karen. Thank you so much for having me. I'm really delighted to be here.
You're welcome. So we're going to hear a bit about you and your companies and mushrooms. First, I wanted to talk about mushrooms as I remember them growing up. Kids don't often like mushrooms very much. And when we used to talk about nutrition, we all thought there was nothing in a mushroom. We thought there was no value in a mushroom. Now, I don't know where that came from.
I do.
Okay, you'll have to tell us. But now we know mushrooms are such a powerhouse. They can do so many wonderful things for us. I like to call them natural chemotherapy when it comes to cancer.
Wow.
I'm a cancer survivor, and I made sure I was taking my concentrated mushroom supplements during that time in 2006, 2007. But what a powerhouse. So let's get started. Tell us about mushrooms and why we didn't know much about them.
Well,
or their benefits.
Well, you know, I studied mushrooms and the world of fungi in a mycology class in the late 60s at university. And you know, that's a pretty obscure area at a university. Very few universities have a mycology department. I mean, it was actually part of the botany department. But after I graduated from university, what do you do with a degree in my field, which was not mycology, was anthropology.
Oh.
I went to my mycology professor and I said, hey, I'd like to grow mushrooms. It sounds really interesting. And he said, well, there's a mushroom farm 60 miles down the road from Seattle, where I went to school. And I went there. I got the job. I was there for 10 years. But getting back to your question, one of the first things that I learned about mushrooms while I was there, because I didn't really learn this at university, was why do classical nutritionists, why are they saying that mushrooms is just a garnish, something that kind of has some nice flavor that you might add to it? Well, it's actually very simple, because mushrooms are low in calories. At that time, low cal meant no food value.
Right. Calorie was king. Calorie was king. And now we have plenty of foods that have lots of calories and no nutrition.
That's right. And you know, what's really interesting, Karen, is that mushrooms have no starch. You know, all of the starches out there that we consume regularly, potatoes and grains and all, mushrooms do not contain starch. Actually, they have, they're primarily carbohydrates, but the carbohydrates that are in mushrooms are very good, slow-acting carbohydrates, like mannitol. You're probably familiar with mannitol. I mean, mannitol is something that really just slowly works through our system. And you know, if you pay any attention at all to the whole idea of the glycemic index, well, you know, that's a very good thing. So mushrooms are not the kind of food that just goes boom and up you go and down you come. No, they digest slowly, and not only they are a great food, but they also have these medicinal properties. And so for me, what I really love is it's food as medicine. It is what we should, you know, we think of nutritional value, but these other characteristics as well just make mushrooms what I call the forgotten food and the missing dietary link.
I like to say food, to use food as medicine. Of course, here in the United States, we're not allowed to label foods as medicine.
No, we're not.
But that's hopefully something that will change, because our food system is a big mess.
Oh my God, really?
Yeah, so I'm thinking you were studying mycology and you were in Washington State, which I know is kind of a wet place. And is that why mushrooms, you were studying mushrooms there? Is that like a great place for mushrooms?
It's one of the best geographical locations in the world for wild mushrooms. You know, Washington and the Pacific Northwest, it's the evergreen state. Forests, lakes, rivers, and lots of water pouring out of the skies. I mean, I'm always telling my friends who live down in the Southwest or something, send me your sun and I'll send you some rain, okay? So it's the perfect climate for wild mushroom growing. And for me, in 1973, when I went to work on the mushroom farm, I had decided at that point where I wanted to become a mushroom grower. So I was there for 10 years, literally living with mushrooms.
I've read and I've seen some films on that include information about mushrooms, and they're really quite fascinating. They have so much intelligence. They're a fascinating species to study, let alone consume.
Well, yeah. And you know, what's interesting about this, and just let me kind of take you through sort of the how we classify them and where they fit in and all of that. And so, you know, you've probably heard this before, but mushrooms are not plants. They're not animals. They have their own kingdom that sits right in the middle. We actually share some attributes with mushrooms. Their vegetative body, which is called mycelium, and we'll talk a little bit more about that in a minute, but that body is breathing. It's breathing in oxygen and giving off carbon dioxide. Kind of like what we do. Its storage carbohydrate is not starch, it's glycogen, just like us. So we share attributes, which is great. Now, the mushroom or fungal kingdom has got a number of different divisions, but the ones that are important for us are what are called either the basic molds or mushrooms. And that's sort of like, I mean, you see molds all the time, right? I mean, not all the time, but we've all seen molds, for example, on bread. The bread gets older and all of a sudden we see something green or black. Well, you know that's what's called an imperfect fungus. And the imperfect fungi, they only have that vegetative stage. So we see them again, and if we see them in the beginning, they're kind of a whitish actually, but then all of a sudden they turn a color. All of a sudden they're green or they're black. What that actually is the production of spores. And when people talk about molds and kind of like, oh, I'm so afraid of molds because of, you know, the home I live in and all of that, what the issue is, breathing those spores. That is the issue. The spores get in our lungs, and oftentimes they're ornamented and have little tiny things on them that will actually physically kind of give us irritation in our lungs. And ultimately, if you breathe them in too much, you can end up having a disease. And this is where, and look, you know what I find so interesting is that we don't really know this, but the air we breathe, and we can't see all this, is full of microorganisms, spores, bacteria, pollens, filled with it. I mean, sometimes if you're out in a forest in the fall or in the spring, let's see, you might see these clouds of pollen from trees and you're like, wow. But we don't see everything else that's out there. And look, that's all a good thing because we have to live with all these things and that gives us immunity to all of them. So it's a good thing. So we've got these molds. On the other side, we have perfect fungi. And the perfect fungi actually will, the mycelium will produce a mushroom. And now there are, and this is really important, there are three what we could call plant parts to this organism that we all think of as a mushroom. Okay, so there's a spore. The spore lands somewhere in nature, a piece of wood on the ground or something. When the spores germinate, they germinate into a very, very fine filament. It's a tube-like filament. And when multiple filaments come together, it forms a network. That network is called mycelium. That is the body of this fungus. And you know, we don't normally see it because it's underground or it's in the wood. And what it's doing out there as it amasses nutrients is breaking down organic matter. Without that mycelium and the other organisms out there, we would be covered by organic matter. Leaves, branches, annual plants, think of it all. It's got to be repurposed. It's got to be decomposed. Mushrooms or these fungal organisms are decomposers. So we have the spore. It germinates, creates this vegetative body called mycelium. And when conditions are right, the fall out here, when all of a sudden the rains come, up comes this mushroom. And you know what's interesting? Have you ever been out for a walk and maybe you walk the same path all the time and one day you go, oh, look, a mushroom. Where did that come from? It wasn't there yesterday. Well, actually it was, but you didn't see it because it had to reach a certain size before you actually noticed it. Because normally a mushroom will take 2 weeks from, let's just say, start to finish, 2 to 3 weeks. So up it comes, there's your mushroom. That mushroom goes through its different stages of till mature. Then we have gills on the underside. They produce spores. And now we have the completion of this life cycle. And Karen, why this is important is because in terms of, we've got three what we're calling plant parts, spore, mycelium, mushroom. It's important because when you go out there to buy a supplement, they have to tell you what plant part is in that supplement, because a root, a flower, a leaf, they can have different amounts of the medicinal compounds in them. So you could end up buying something you think is mushroom when it's actually mycelium or spore or some other plant part. So just understanding that is really important for people to know. And traditionally, mushrooms are what have been consumed as not just food, but supplements. I mean, obviously we haven't consumed mycelium because it's, we'd have to dig it up and somehow wash the dirt away. Couldn't do that. So the mushroom is always what's been used as food and for medicinal purposes. And the mushroom is actually quite complex compared to this mycelium, which is a very simple type of organism that's job is to produce enzymes to break down the organic matter and keep the cycle going because it's creating humus.
Okay, so the mushroom itself is the part that we see. Does that include the cap and the stem?
Yes.
Okay, and the mycelium, what do they look like?
It looks like white mold.
Nice.
Yeah, so and the,
how do you harvest that?
You don't, but you can produce it in a laboratory.
Okay.
Okay, so here's what's really interesting about mushrooms. Have you ever been to a mushroom farm, Karen?
No.
Why not?
I never thought about it.
Well, you know, think about this for a second. There's a good reason for it, because we can be driving around and we can see fields of grain or fields of vegetables. They're grown indoors.
Yeah, okay.
You can drive right by and not
even
know.
I've seen pictures. But I haven't been to one.
Yeah. Well, what's interesting is like, okay, mushrooms have no seeds. How do we plant them? They've got no seeds. What do we do to grow a mushroom? Well, what happens is that we plant live mycelium.
Ah.
So this live mycelium, which originally they would dig it up in the wild and then, you know, take it in and put it in something that's similar to what it was growing in and hope it would spread, to the point where we finally learned how to bring microorganisms into the lab and produce cultures of this organism and then put it on some kind of carrier. So one of the common carriers to create what we call mushroom spawn, which is the seed to grow mushrooms, is grain. So we take a jar of grain, like a gallon jar of grain, and maybe we've got 1,000 grains in there. Each one gets covered with mycelium. And now when it grows out, it gets covered with mycelium in a sterile culture, because the grain has to be sterilized. And then we take that and we take it into our mushroom house and we break it up and we throw it on whatever we're growing in, a compost or some kind of natural materials. Every one of those grains, the mycelium grows off of that grain into our substrate, our nutrient medium. That's our seed to grow mushrooms, live mycelium. It's really cool.
You make these extracts, and we also like to eat mushrooms for nutrition. So where is the best nutrition? Is it in the mushroom that we see, I would like to think, or does the mycelium have some value?
Well, you know what? Yes, the mycelium has value. One of the things about these fungal organisms, mycelium and mushroom, their cell walls are 50% of the cell wall is composed of what's called a beta-glucan.
Oh, that's good.
The beta glucan has the medicinal properties in it. It is, as scientists have told us, that the beta glucan can potentiate our immune system.
So that's the mycelium has that?
No, both mycelium and mushroom.
Okay.
But the mushroom has higher amounts of these beta glucans. Okay. And the mycelium, the issue with the mycelium is that you can't really grow it out on its own in large quantities. You can, but that's not what's done in the United States. Nobody does that in the United States. They grow mushrooms. And so what's really interesting is that mushrooms as supplements, the only place you're going to get those is actually where we grow our mushrooms, which is in China. And here's what's kind of interesting is that if I want to grow mushrooms in the United States, I can grow them for food. $5 a pound. That's fantastic. $5 a pound. I can make a business out of it. You see mushrooms everywhere there, you know, but supplements are dried powders. Mushrooms are 90% water. Hmm. Now $5. Now I've got to sell that for $50 to get the same value. So the economics of growing mushrooms in the United States does not work for supplement use. Mm-hmm. So as a mushroom grower, I learned that very early. And that's why I ultimately went to China to grow our mushrooms. And China today grows 85% of the world's mushrooms.
Wow.
85%.
So tell us why we can trust mushrooms from China, because we have, you know, an interesting relationship with China, and we all, you know, all of humanity has done some crazy things on this planet. Nobody's innocent, okay? But we're concerned about China, and we're especially concerned with foods that we want, that we think are organic, and we want to make sure that they are.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, you know what? My company was certified organic in 1992.
Wow.
I totally believe in organics. Well, do you think we pour chemicals on the foods in the United States?
Unfortunately, yes, of course.
We do. Like what's the percentage of organic food in the United States? 5%. Okay. So look, when I went to China and I started to organize growing mushrooms for my company over there in 1997, I took over the largest organic certifier in the United States for a certification workshop, the very first certification workshop for mushrooms in China in 1997. Now, a lot of people think that nutritional supplements are not regulated. Oh, let me tell you.
Yeah, tell us.
Highly, highly regulated. Mm. We test for heavy metals.
Good.
We test for pesticides and fungicides. We test for microbes. So we have a whole microbiological panel. Those are just the primary things that we have to test for that FDA and the government says, look, you have to meet these certain standards. So all of our products before they even leave China are tested for that. And then when they arrive over in the United States, we test them again. So they're tested twice. And then we test them for the medicinal compounds. And that to me is like, what's really important, because look, if I give you a product and it doesn't have the beta glucans in it, what am I selling you? See, that's the issue for me is like, we will analyze beyond just the basics. We will analyze for the active compounds. And one of the things I do tell people too is like, look, it ultimately doesn't really matter where something is grown, in the sense that we have to analyze it and measure it to qualify that product. Because look, you're not going to eat something that comes off the Gulf Coast of Texas, Louisiana. I mean, you know, the petrochemical industry down there, all of the, I mean, look, there's so many chemicals sprayed mm-hmm. on all of the food in the United States. And you know, people can say what they want, but unless they're out there buying organic products and actually supporting the industry. Well, I don't talk to me about China, because our products in China are certified by high quality European certifiers, not Chinese certifiers.
You're talking about cost, and you go to China, obviously, because it's cost effective. I was looking to buy dried mushrooms recently. I usually buy them in bulk and online, and I was out and I hadn't bought them for over a year. And so I was buying them again, and I always buy them organic, of course. And the prices have like tripled at least since the last time I bought them. So is that because people here are more interested in fresh mushrooms? I'm just curious. Do you even know?
Well, of course, yeah. Where are you buying them? Are you buying them in the supermarket?
No, I'm buying bulk dried mushrooms online, wherever I can find them, organic.
Okay. Well, first of all, if you were to actually, you know, that's great. Buying them online is good. Where are they coming from? Depending on the price you're paying, they're probably not growing in the United States. Mm-hmm. Absolutely not growing. I mean, all you have to do is go into a supermarket and look at those little displays of dried mushrooms, and they have like 15 grams in a package, and it's like $3 or something.
Yeah, well, that's why I try and buy in bulk. I like to buy a pound or more. Yeah.
Well, yes. And the only place where you can actually buy dried mushrooms for a reasonable price in quantity normally is you go into Chinatown. Like I go into Chinatown, Vancouver, or if you go into Chinatown, New York, or if you go into Chinatown, San Francisco, then you're going to have it. But it's going to be very unlikely that you'll find organic.
That's right.
You know, just not going to happen because that's because, you know, when these companies are shipping over their bulk mushrooms, they're not like me that's gone over there with certifiers and all the rest. Now, since I went over there in 1997, there are tons and tons of mushrooms now being grown in China that are certified organic. And to me, that's important because we just can't go, oh no, we're not going to buy anything from there. I think it's better that I go there and I say, hey, there's another way of doing this. Start thinking about it now. And again, you will never get a mushroom supplement that was grown in the U.S. that that is actually a real mushroom. And Karen, you know what they do in the U.S. is there's a lot of supplements that are sold as mushroom in the U.S. that aren't actually mushroom. And what they are is they grow mycelium in sterile grain. Like I was telling you, that whole spawn, well, they grow out the spawn, and then instead of using it as spawn, what they do is they will dry it, grind it to a powder, grain and all.
Wow.
Sell it as mushroom.
And how do we know that? Does it say that on the label? It'll say mycelium, but it won't say grain, will it?
It won't say mycelium on the front panel. On the front panel, it'll just have a picture of a mushroom. And say reishi mushroom or something. Sometimes, some companies, if you turn it over, Supplement Facts, and you look at that, they may say mycelium. Hmm. And then if you look in the other, they may say myceliated brown rice, myceliated oats. And here's what the difference is. One of the tests that we do is called a megazyme test, and it tests the beta glucans. This test tests for mushroom beta glucans and what are called alpha glucans. Alpha glucans are starches or glycogen. So it's a great test. In 2015, I did a study. I bought 40 different commercial products off the internet. I took dried mushrooms. I took some of our mushroom extracts, 90 different samples, tested them all. And what it turns out, and look, I could tell you this even before the testing, but what it turns out is all these products are maybe on average 5 or 6%. We're talking about these myceliated grain products, 5 or 6% beta glucan and 30 to 60% starch, alpha glucan.
Wow.
A mushroom product, Karen, is minimum 25%, so 25 to 60% beta glucan and less than 5% of alpha.
Wow.
So just the opposite. So if you're looking for a mushroom supplement and it is one of these products, and the way you can think about it and the way your listeners can think about it is, are you familiar with tempeh?
Of course, I eat it all the time.
Okay, do you know what tempeh is?
It's soybeans and it's fermented with spores.
Okay, so do you know what kind of spores?
Well, I haven't sent away from them yet, but I'm tempted to.
Okay, fungal spores. It's actually a fungus, and what you're actually eating is mycelium.
That's the white fuzzy stuff.
Yeah, you're eating mycelium. So think about this for a second. Tempeh, great food, right?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, when you cut it open, do you see a lot of soybean in there?
Kind of, a little bit, yeah.
Well, okay.
Oh, that's like the grain.
Yeah. So what you are eating as a food is what people are selling to you as a supplement. They just dry that out. They grind it to a powder and then they sell it and they call it mushroom.
Wow.
It's not mushroom. And that's why I'm saying the plant part is very important to understand. Because, you know, some of these companies will even say, oh, yeah, well, the mycelium's great. It's got all these benefits and on and on and on. And it's like, well, yeah, I'm not arguing that. But what about all the starch in those grains?
Yeah. So you must be very frustrated because you've been in this for a long time and you started your company, Namex, what, like 30 plus years ago. And now all these other companies are popping up and making inferior products.
Well, you know what? The supplement industry, that's nothing new in the supplement industry.
True.
Adulteration has been with us as long as we've been trading.
It's American as apple pie.
Well, it's actually as human as it gets because, yeah, you
everybody
know,
does
herbs, it. Herbs and spices, I mean, adulteration is just an ongoing issue. So that's how I look at it as adulteration. But you know, the key issue here that is more egregious for me is just the product labeling. And I told you that we've got lots of regulations out there. We've got regulations for labels that say you can't call mycelium a mushroom. They do it anyway. Well, how do they get away with it? They're not killing anybody. FDA has bigger fish to fry.
Okay.
A little bit of starch powder is not going to harm anybody. So it's a low priority if they're even aware of it.
Well, I'm going to say they're not killing anybody, but indirectly, they may impact someone's health who really needs the nutrients that they want to get in the mushroom and they're not quite getting enough and they think they are to help with a certain health condition.
You know what? I totally agree. Can you imagine? I mean, when I was answering the phone at my company back in the 90s, I don't anymore, but when I was the one answering the phone, Karen, somebody's on the phone and says, I've got cancer and somebody told me about these medicinal mushrooms and can you help?
Yep. Yep.
Do you think I want to sell them starch powder? Right. Well, no.
Yep. I get it.
I mean, so for me, it's unethical at the least, because there's even naturopaths that have been fooled and are actually recommending some of these products. So it is just absolutely horrible. And so for me, I just consider it a matter of education. People don't know. Companies, literally companies, are unaware of this. I have to educate companies. They get fooled by what I would consider to be just people who are conning them.
Yeah. Well, I appreciate this conversation we're having. I know some things about mushrooms, but I've learned a lot today, and I'm glad we're having this discussion. Now, there are numerous scientific studies on mushrooms telling us what the health benefits are. But we all know scientific studies are expensive. There's only so many they can do. There's so much more that they need to do and so much more we need to know. But from what we know and from the different types of mushrooms that there are, can you tell us which ones are good for what?
Sure, sure. First of all, I would say the major mushrooms, medicinal mushrooms. And, you know, these days I'm actually dropping that term and calling them functional mushrooms because, you know, medicinal, we're kind of getting into that same territory, sure. Right? Primary ones, like to say, shiitake, reishi, maitake, turkey tail. Primarily, they're used for, again, potentiating our immunity. And the way they do that is that these beta glucans, we actually have receptor sites for beta glucans down in our intestinal tract. And so as we eat the mushrooms or as we supplement with them, down it goes, it hits these receptor sites, and then these receptor sites will stimulate the production of cytokines. Helper T cells, macrophages. That's really the primary benefit from mushrooms. And, you know, the key thing for me and what I tell people is you're not taking an aspirin. You're not taking a ibuprofen. Put these into your diet. You have to be consuming them regularly. That way they are there. They're ready to act when there is a reason to act. They're actually helping you in general staying healthy. That's what they're doing. I look at mushrooms as prevention. And I look at health in that way too. I mean, it's just like, you know what it's like to have a good diet. A good diet is preventative. It's something that's keeping us healthy. It's not like, oh my goodness, I've got I'm starting to get a cold. I'd better do something about it.
Mm-hmm. No, it's 24/7.
Well, yes. And it's all about homeostasis. It's about harmony, you know, and this is kind of where some of these herbs and mushrooms are considered adaptogens, and in the sense of that word, of something that does promote balance. The way I look at disease is we're out of balance for one reason or another. So we want something that can help us stay in balance, just like a balanced diet, just like something that actually keeps us healthy. So primarily it is the beta glucans in the mushrooms. Some mushrooms have compounds in there and where they've utilized these mushrooms for neurasthenia, which is people have been ill. They haven't been able to quite, you know, they're sort of getting over it, but they haven't quite gotten completely out of it. They're fatigued, they're tired. A mushroom called cordyceps has been used for that. There's another mushroom right now, which is actually our most popular mushroom. It's called lion's mane.
My favorite.
Oh, what you need? You need a little help with your memory? Come on.
I get it from my mother.
Very good answer. So lion's mane actually has interesting compounds in it, which stimulate something called nerve growth factor, which we produce nerve growth factor. But as we age, we produce less of it. And nerve growth factor helps to organize and promote the health of neurons. So lion's mane actually will stimulate the production of nerve growth factor. And you know, it's interesting because it's considered These days they have a category called nootropics, and it's in that category. And who is it that's buying lion's mane more than anybody else? 20 somethings and 30 somethings.
Okay.
Because they're looking for that edge, right?
Sure.
And so there, it's all of a sudden one of these very popular nootropics. So
okay, I have a question.
Yep.
You mentioned the word adaptogen, and I'm wondering two things. One is, with some adaptogens, you want to consume them for a period and then back off from them because the body adapts to them and you don't have the same impact. So are there any mushrooms that we're to do that with? And the second question is there any time a certain quantity too much?
Well, first of all, there's really no limit on like, oh, gee, I've taken this herb for a month. Now I've got to stop for a while.
Okay.
Nothing like that with mushrooms. Not at all. And let me just say this too. I really recommend before people even supplement, put mushrooms into your diet. And you know, okay, the button mushroom out there that's in every market is got medicinal properties, but it's also just a really great food. Mm-hmm. But the one I recommend to everybody, which is my favorite, is shiitake.
Me too.
You must eat shiitake.
Yes, I mean, I do. I love it.
Shiitake in Chinese means fragrant mushroom. Mm-hmm. And you know, the aroma of shiitake is just fantastic. It's a wonderful edible mushroom. And if you have those in your marketplace, buy them. You know, I'm eating mushrooms at least 4 or 5 times a week. And, mm-hmm. and I don't, you know, put in a, you know, oh, I'll take a couple of mushrooms. No, I mean, I'm, if it's shiitake, I'm probably chopping up 12, 15 fresh shiitake, or if it's agaricus, I'm probably chopping up 6 to 8 of them. And to answer the second part of your questions, no, there really is no sort of upper limit. The only thing I would say to people, and I think this is important, is every food has allergenic potential. Mm-hmm. Because it doesn't matter what food it is. There's probably 5% of the population that will have some reaction to that food. It's just kind of standard. So I tell people, okay, the first time you eat any new mushroom, don't eat a lot of it. Eat a small amount. See if it... how it feels for you. I mean, you probably won't feel anything at all because it's just be a small part of your meal, but do that first before you, you know, one of the things with mushroom poisoning, and I don't want to really kind of dwell on this because everybody goes like, oh, mushrooms, there's poisonous mushrooms out there.
Yeah.
Well, you know what happens is the majority of the people that get poisoned by mushrooms are immigrants. They're in and they go, oh, I remember when I was growing up back in Romania or something, and we used to go out and gather these mushrooms, and it looks just like the mushroom that you see here. And look at them all. They're big, they're meaty, they're wonderful. They take those home with them. They chop them up. They eat a ton. And that is the problem.
Wow.
You know, it's like, and the issue too is that you don't even know you're poisoned until 8 hours later when it's really too late. So, and just getting back to eating mushrooms, it's like, look, just eat a little bit when you start, because not that it's poisonous, it's not going to be poisonous if it's in the supermarket, but who knows, you might be allergic to it. You might have something like that. So just be aware of that as a factor. And again, it can happen with any food out there. The first time you eat it, don't pig out on it, for goodness sake. I know it's delicious, but don't.
Okay, let's talk about your Namex products, your Namex extracts. One thing I like about mushroom powders and extracts is some people don't like mushrooms, but they want the health benefits. My partner, Gary, Italian, doesn't like mushrooms.
Oh my God, he's not really Italian.
I'll tell him that. And we're vegan. And mushrooms very often tend to be that umami, that meaty flavor that we like to add to our recipes. So
yeah.
He needs his mushrooms in powder form or in an extract. So let's talk about those extracts and how you make them and what kinds you have and what they're good for.
Well, you know what? First of all, you know, think about it for a second. If you just grind them up into a powder and you put them in a couple capsules and somebody says, oh yeah, here's your mushroom supplement, and it's just like ground powder, and take two capsules a day. That's 1 gram of powder. That's 10 grams of fresh mushroom. That is nothing. It's not enough. So how do we get away from that? Well, for one, we do an extraction on it. We do a water extract. We cook it at 90 degrees C for 3 hours. And we will then, and you know, one of the things that does is it breaks down the cell walls, makes it more bioavailable to us. You know, when we're eating, we're not going to sit there and chew, right? The more you chew, the better.
Yeah.
What's that?
We're supposed to chew.
Well, I know. I mean, and the more we chew, the more nutrients we would get out of it.
Mm-hmm.
But at any rate, so we've broken it down to a powder. We've cooked it once with water. That helps to release the beta glucans, helps to make it more bioavailable. We can also concentrate, for example, 4 kilos of dried mushrooms into 1 kilo of extract powder, or sometimes 8 kilos to 1 or 10 kilos to one. That's one of the benefits of an extract, is now instead of like, oh, it's just a powder, I better take 10 capsules. No, it's an extract. You only have to take 2 capsules or maybe 3 or 4 or something. But that's the beauty of an extract, besides the fact that we're processing it and it's now in a form that's much more bioavailable.
All right. That sounds good. Do you have any individual anecdotes, like a story, someone who took your product and it made a significant difference in their life?
Look at me. I've been eating mushrooms all my life.
Yeah. You know what I wanted to say? You said that humans have a lot in common with fungi, and Jeff, you definitely do because you're a fungi. Sorry. I just had to do that.
Yeah. Yeah. I know. Somebody's always got to slip in that fungi thing, right? It's kind of the same as, oh, I must be a mushroom. They keep me in the dark and feed me bullshit, right? Which is kind of a crazy thing, because, you know, the funny thing about that joke is that mushrooms need light to grow properly. Mm-hmm. They need light, but that button mushroom, strangely enough, does not need light.
Hmm.
And it grows on a compost. So, that makes for a great joke. But you know, I guess, you know, one of the things that happens is I can get people, certainly back in the 90s when I was starting my business, and I'm the one answering the phone and I'm talking to people, and I can get anecdotal information. We don't have, and certainly I don't have that luxury anymore. And primarily Namex sells our bulk powders to other companies.
Mm-hmm.
And we do have a retail line, and they get a lot of feedback, but you know, it's really difficult in terms of relating stories about, you know, somebody that's had a very positive experience or something like that, because you just never know. It's you know, there's placebo, there's any number of things that can happen. I guess for me, what's important to me is that we test every single batch that we make, and we test it for beta glucans. We test it for ergosterol, which is the fungal sterol. We test it for another compound called ergothionine. You know, what's really, really cool, Karen, is fungi, mushrooms, they have a sterol called ergosterol. It's the same or similar to our cholesterol. Cholesterol, actually, when we expose ourselves to the sun, That's what creates vitamin D. How important is vitamin D? Very important. This ergosterol in mushrooms, if you put mushrooms out into the sun and expose enough surface area, that ergosterol turns into vitamin D.
Which is a wonderful thing for vegans like myself who want to supplement vitamin D and wanted to supplement vitamin D3, because we used to supplement D2 because that was vegan and the vitamin D3 wasn't, but now we can get it from mushrooms. Thank you.
Well, wait a second. But yeah, but remember, vitamin D from mushrooms is D2.
Some of it's D3 now. Yeah, they say it is.
They're not telling you the truth.
Okay.
Now, let me
we'll
just
get back
say
to
this.
That one.
Yeah, well, let me just say this. There are some companies that are claiming to have vitamin D3 and selling it out there, and they're claiming it comes from mushrooms. There have been some studies that show that, and again, what happens is you take the mushroom or the mushroom powder and you expose it to UV, and that turns the ergosterol into vitamin D2. However, they have demonstrated now, as they've gotten a little more finer instruments, that there is a small amount of D3 and a small amount of D4. Whether that means anything, I haven't determined yet, because, and again, even if it were in there, I would say it's in too small an amount to really be useful. But primarily, when we're talking about fungal vitamin D, it is D2. And look, labeling claims, I've seen it out there, companies who've even claimed vitamin D from their supplement product, and we've tested them, and we know how they're grown. Like, for example, a company that produces this myceliated grain tempeh product, and they're claiming vitamin D in the product. No, I'm sorry. Not when it's mostly starch. You're not going to get, there's a process that it has to go through to create a reasonable amount of D2, but that is the vitamin D that is in fungal products. You know, originally vitamin D2, and still is on a large scale, manufactured from yeast.
Mm-hmm.
That's where most of the fungal D2 comes from yeast, which I don't have a problem with at all. I mean, to me, you know, growing yeast, what they've done out there, I mean, it's probably not organic, but there's a lot of, you know, yeast. It's good as far as I'm concerned.
I'm going to have to dig into this a little more.
Well, I know. And not only that, I was going to say, hey, look, I would love to know what mushroom supplement you were taking back in the day. And please tell me offline, because I don't want to stir up anything here, but I've done this with lots of people, Karen, where they come to me and they say, oh, I'm taking this great mushroom product. I love mushrooms. The first thing I always ask them when it comes to a supplement is, well, what brand?
Mm-hmm.
Can you imagine? I mean, people that don't eat grains, and then I tell them, oh, guess what? That product that you're taking is not actually mushroom. It's mostly grain starch.
Wow. Really good information. Okay. The last question is, if we want to get NAMIC certified organic mushroom products from you, or where do we find them?
Well, again, NAMIC.com is the website for my company that produces products for other companies. That's the wholesale side, but you can get we have a retail division. It's called Real Mushrooms. So realmushrooms.com, people can go get, and I believe the first purchase is like 25% off or something like that, but that's where you can get our products on the retail side. The retail side for us is relatively new. I was not in the retail market until about 2015, just because I didn't want to get out and compete with my customers.
Mm-hmm.
But we only sell online. We don't sell in the stores. So
okay.
all good.
Yeah, well, I like the word real, real mushrooms. You know, I have a nonprofit called Responsible Eating and Living, R-E-A-L, real.
Oh, real is a good word. It's a very good word. And you know, I mean, responsible, I mean, you I'm sure understand what it's like going out and purchasing food and getting something of quality and also knowing what's in that particular product and is it organically certified and have they added anything in there that you don't want to be there? I mean, it's not easy these days.
No. Jeff, it was very delightful chatting with you today. Jeff Chilton, president of Namex, on this very tasteful umami conversation about mushrooms.
It's been a pleasure speaking with you, Karen. It's
nice
really
meeting
great.
You and learning from you today. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Take care. Be well.
You too.
Hey, everybody. That was Jeff Chilton. And I just checked my vitamin D supplement and I made a mistake. My vitamin D supplement is made from lichen. It's not made from mushroom. It's made from lichen. Another one of those interesting life forms. I get my vitamin D from that source, and it's vitamin D3. Just wanted to clarify that. And before we go, I wanted to remind you once again about the 10th Annual Food Revolution Summit. I really do hope you take the time to register and attend as much as you can, because there's always so much to learn. And you can go to responsibleeatingandliving.com and click on the link for the 10th Annual Food Revolution Summit. Thanks for joining me today. I hope you enjoyed the show. I did. It was pretty tasty, right? Everybody, have a delicious week.